Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Family and friends of Kristen Huntington gathered last night in Fairbanks for a candlelight vigil. The 30-year-old Huntington went missing last week and was found murdered Sunday in a vacant unit in the Hamilton Acres apartment building where she lived. No one has been charged in her death, but the vigil focused on speaking up to stop domestic violence. The community is invited to a fundraiser tomorrow from 11 to 3 at the Chief David Salmon Tribal Hall to help cover funeral expenses for Huntington. Utqiagvik recently mourned the passing of its oldest elder. KOTZ reports that Ukyoktuk Wesley Aiken was born in 1926 in the village, long before North Slope oil development.
He came from the life of hard work.
That's Martha Stackhouse, Aiken's daughter. Stackhouse says Aiken was a fixture in the community for most of his life, starting as a reindeer herder at age 14. She says her father was instrumental in establishing the local borough government and the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation with the first North Slope borough mayor, Eben Hobson.
They were together in this land claims movement and worked closely together and... Eben always wanted to travel with him, too, sometimes. So when they were going back and forth to Washington, D.C. or Juneau or to AFN.
A longtime whaler and champion of the subsistence way of life, Aiken was the keynote speaker at the 2018 Elders and Youth Conference in Anchorage. Stackhouse says her father was always asked to speak with youth at schools and community events.
He always talked about, we did all this to secure our land and our way of life, which is subsistence way of life. In a sense, he was saying that we're passing the torch to the young people.
Stackhouse says she'll always remember her father for trying to attend as many community cultural events as possible.
He always... wanted to attend all these things just to watch people being happy.
Ukyoktuk Wesley Aiken passed away on January 6th. He was 93 years old. Groups representing PFAS-contaminated areas, including Alaska Community Action on Toxics, have petitioned the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to classify the chemicals as hazardous. ACAT Director Pam Miller says the legal action seeks to get the ubiquitous industrial compounds tied to human health problems included under the Federal Resource Conservation and Recovery Act.
Which means that they have to treat PFAS substances as hazardous waste because right now PFAS are virtually unregulated.
PFAS chemicals are used in a wide range of products from cookware to the firefighting foams which have contaminated soil and groundwater at numerous locations in Alaska, including around Eielson Air Force Base. Miller says inclusion in the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act would also designate PFAS chemicals as hazardous under the federal Superfund cleanup program. ACAT and other groups, including the Green Policy Institute, filed the petition with the EPA. ACAT and other groups, including the Green Policy Institute, filed the petition with EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler in Washington, D.C. yesterday. A bipartisan education bill is in the works. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that the state legislation announced yesterday at an Anchorage elementary school targets reading. Alaska fourth graders had the lowest reading scores in the country in a national assessment last year, a score the bill announced by Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy and Anchorage Democratic State Senator Tom Begich aims to improve. Governor Dunleavy described reading as foundational.
We have a moral imperative to ensure that our young people can read at a skill level, at a level that is going to help them advance through school, but also advance through life, give them hope, give them opportunities, and set them on a course for a productive, happy life.
The bill would expand access to pre-kindergarten, require students to be screened for potential reading difficulties 3 times a year from kindergarten through third grade, as well as provide additional state support targeting schools with the worst reading scores. Begich says the bill would better ensure that state funding goes where it's needed most.
Without doing these things, fundamentally we fail our kids. And that's not what we're here for. Today we're here showing you that we care enough about kids and we're going to make it happen.
Beckett says the bill will also make reading curriculum more consistent so that students who change school districts learn under the same guidelines. He says the bill's language is being finalized and that it will be introduced on the first day of the legislative session this coming Tuesday. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation is working on the next phase of federal air quality compliance for the Fairbanks North Pole area. The state agency submitted what's known as a Serious State Implementation Plan, or SIP, to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency last month, outlining measures like wood-burning bans aimed at bringing the area into compliance with fine particulate pollution standards. DEC Commissioner Jason Bruni says it will take EPA months to fully review that plan, but that DEC staff is meanwhile working on the next phase of the process, known as a 5% plan, to demonstrate 5% annual reduction in PM2.5 pollution.
And that is part of the Clean Air Act's requirements to make sure that we're making a path to reaching attainment to decreasing the PM2.5 levels.
Bruni says the requirement is to cut fine particulate levels 5% per year for 10 years to achieve the 50% total reduction needed to meet the Clean Air Act standard.
Reach attainment by 2029, and my anticipation is actually it will be quicker than 2029.
Bruni says the 5% plan, which is expected to be out for public comment in May or June, will largely rely on strategies like stricter thresholds for wood burning restrictions and a switch to cleaner burning heating oil already outlined in the SIP.
I think that there may be some, but for the most part, the Serious SIP included the majority of the requirements that were going to be put in place, but it'll be based on the public feedback we get and what the feedback we get from the EPA.
Bruni notes that the DEC is keeping an eye out for area residents who violate burn bans either intentionally or unknowingly, and says the agency has sent out 59 infraction notices so far this season. He says the outreach letters are educational, but that repeat violators can eventually be subject to legal action. The state's first mobile division of motor vehicles office set up in the western Alaska village of Nestoyahook this week. KDLG reports that the mobile DMV allowed residents to take driver's license tests and apply for real IDs. The Bristol Bay Native Corporation worked with the Alaska Division of Motor Vehicles to help mitigate some of the challenges residents face when applying for their IDs. The Bristol Bay Native Corporation and the state DMV expect to expand the program to more villages. A real ID or other form of compliant identification will be required to travel on a commercial airliner as of October 1st of this year. I'm Dan Bross.